great to have the kids with us. And they're part of the church. As important a part of the church as any of us. They're now the church, but they're also the future of the church, aren't they? So we give thanks to the Lord. And we also, as we've already in this service, prayed for our youth mission team, out both growing in the Lord and serving the Lord. Great privilege we have as a congregation to have a ministry to our children and a ministry to young folks in junior high and high school and college. I sense this is going to be, I know it has been for a long time, of an important ministry of this church. I think it's going to be an even more important ministry of this church as the years go by. And we thank the Lord for that as we reach new generations for Jesus Christ. We come this morning to think about, from the Word of God, again, who we're called to be and how we're called to be faithful to Jesus Christ in the church. And remember, this is all going to culminate this morning in the Lord's Supper. So we look forward to that and prepare ourselves for that even through this whole message. So bow with me, please, and through my words, agree and offer this prayer to the Lord as well. So Lord, together now, we ask at this important time in our service, in our week, that your word would be our sole guide and your spirit our sole teacher and your glory and our transformation our dual purpose. Amen. Well, I want us to consider this morning, again, for some of us, but a very, very important and central and significant saying, teaching of our Lord. This occurred late in his three-year public ministry, shortly before he went to Jerusalem for the final time. And his disciples, especially James and John, are working with Jesus on getting top spots in the eternal kingdom. They want to be at Jesus' right and left. They want to be great in the kingdom. And Jesus uses this occasion to teach them about what true greatness in the kingdom of God, in the people of God, is. So you may remember this text. It's a very important text. And you should, for sure, at least the last verse, verse 45, commit it to memory. But Jesus says, you know, he's speaking to his disciples now, you know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. But it is not so among you. But rather, whoever wants to be great shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Well, there's a lot here for us. He begins by saying, in response to the request by some of his leaders, his apostles, to be great in the kingdom, he begins by talking about what greatness in the world is. And he says, this is the way it is, and we all know this, it's still this way. Greatness is characterized by power and fame and wealth. That's what greatness is in our society and in every society, like it was in his day. Great men exercise authority. They are in charge. But Jesus says in these powerful, but it's not so with you. This is not the way it's to be for you. So one of the things that's hard for us to grasp, and it's especially hard for us to see as we live in a culture that's very much like this. Greatness is power and fame and wealth. It's very hard to see that this is not the way it's to be for us. And whether they're habits or whether they're desires and longings, it's very difficult for us to change, to reorient ourselves. But as you look at the New Testament, you see everywhere a call for change and reorientation. And that's what God calls us to. We're to be different. We're to be different than those around us. And Jesus says, he goes on to say, and the strongest word, there's several words for but in Greek, but this is the strongest word and needs to be translated, but rather. It's not to be so among you, but rather. There's a different way and this is the way it is. Whoever wants to be great shall be your servant. So we're called, greatness in the world is by power and dominating over people and having your way, but greatness in the people of God, greatest in the kingdom, in the rule of God, greatest in the church, greatness is characterized by being servants. And that goes against your nature, it goes against my nature. But this is what Jesus is teaching. Jesus is saying, as you become part of my body, you want to be a great Christ follower, you're to be a servant. And then he goes on, he says it again, maybe even more strongly. He says, whoever wishes to be first shall be the slave of all. And he uses an even stronger word than servant here, slave. Two different words, servant to be, and then he says, slave of all. Not just slave of some, but slave of all. It's hard for us, maybe, to hear these words. We need to let them soak in. We need to believe them. This is what Jesus wants from us. And this is a challenge. And then he says, for even the Son of Man, even I, remember, Son of Man is Jesus' favorite title for himself. He says, for even I did not come to be served. If anybody has the right to be served, it's Jesus, the eternal Son of God, the Savior of the world. But Jesus says, even I did not come to be served. And he's talking here about his incarnation. He's talking here directly about, I came to the world, and I did not come to be served. And that's the only thing we can imagine. It's very hard to imagine the eternal Son of God becoming a human being and coming. And it's, I think, without Jesus doing it, it's impossible for us to conjure up how he would do that, and he would do that not to be served. But rather, he says, to serve and to give his life a ransom, a redemption for all. For many. So this is the call that Jesus lays upon us. And it's important to remember, he uses slave, one, and it's a strong emphasis of the same idea, but he uses servant, and he uses the verb to be served, or to serve, twice. And then the verb to give his life. They're all, to be a slave, to be a servant, to give his life. That's what Jesus does. He's a giver. He's a server. And he came to serve. And we need to remember, when we think about English, the word servant is the word minister. They're the same word in Greek, and where we get the idea of servant and minister. They're the same word. So you need to see that God is calling you. I need to see he's calling me to be a servant of all. And servant ministry is so different than the ways of our world, the ways of our culture, the ways of our society, the ways of our own heart. Our own heart calls us to lord it over people, calls us to be selfish, to put ourselves at the center. But Jesus says, no, no, if you follow me, you're going to serve other, you're going to give your life for other people as I have given my life for other people. I'm not asking you to do anything that I haven't done for you. Give your life for others. And battle this idea of being selfish and living for ourselves and putting ourselves at the center. And I talked a moment ago about how, you know, this is so different from the ways of our world, from the ways of our culture, from the ways of our society. And unfortunately, it's so often so different even from the ways of the church. So many churches just give up. So many Christians just say, I'm going to punt on this one. I'm not going to be, I can't be a servant of everybody else. And a church is not really healthy until the congregation has, together as a community, the mindset that we're here to serve each other and to serve those around us. That's health in a church. And as we prepare for a new pastor and a new era of ministry, servanthood, and mission, as we prepare for this, becoming people who understand ourselves to be, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, are seeking to enact this in real life, of being servants of each other, we won't be healthy, and we won't be ready for what God has to say. One of the things, it's just a big idea for you this morning, is to see that you are a minister. This is not just we're not looking to call a minister to First Baptist Augusta. We're looking to call a pastor. You're all ministers. And you've got to receive that. You've got to receive that title, that role, whatever. Everybody here is called to be a servant of each other. And indeed, as Jesus says, not just a servant, but a slave of all. We're all called to do that. Over in Ephesians, Paul talks about this same idea. He got this from Jesus. And he says in chapter 4, he says, Christ gave, and he talks about some leadership gifts, and then he talks specifically about pastors and pastor teachers. Christ gave some as pastor teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. This passage in Ephesians 4, 11 to 16 is one of the most important passages in all of the New Testament to describe how the church of Jesus Christ should function. How does it work? What does God want to happen in the church? And he begins it by this powerful statement of talking about Christ gave gifts, and he gave gifts to some to be pastor teachers. And pastor teachers go together. A pastor cares for people and teaches them the word and teaches them to live and to become servants of Christ and the people of Christ. Now notice the role of the pastor teacher. The role of the pastor teacher is for the equipping of the saints. Saints is a word for all Christians. So the pastor teacher comes to equip the saints, to equip all of you, everybody in the church, for the work of ministry. You do the work of ministry. And ministry again is, some translations say, for the work of service. Good or service, same word. So God's way of making the church healthy and making the church work is that there's some people who are gifted by Jesus to be pastor teachers who come to congregations to equip congregations to do the work of ministry. So you'll be calling a new pastor teacher to come with the purpose of equipping you to do the work of ministry. And just by thinking about it, you can see how much more ministry gets done if instead of hiring a minister to come and do ministry for First Baptist Augusta, you hire a pastor to come to be kind of a coach to equip all of you to do the work of ministry. God knew what he was doing when he put this together this way. And then what happens is, look at the end of the verse, for the building up of the body of Christ. This all results in the church, the people of God, the body of Christ, being built up. It gets built. Remember now, we saw this a week or two ago, some of Jesus' most important words that really express his mind. He says in Matthew 16, he says, I will build my church. Jesus is going to build his church. How is he going to build his church? He's going to build his church by giving gifts to pastors, to calling them to congregations, to empowering them to do their work of equipping of all the saints, of all the believers, so that they can do the work of ministry, which all results in the building up of the church. It all fits together. This is what God is doing in and through Jesus Christ. And then this important passage in Ephesians 4 begins the way we saw in verses 11 and 12. And here's how it ends in verse 16. Paul is talking about Christ himself and the process that Christ initiates and guides is that Christ, you can read it this way, Christ, according to the proper working of each individual part, see that, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. When this all happens, how it ends is through the proper working of each individual. Everybody has a role. You're a minister. Christ has this process that he works in the church. And the end of it is that when every individual member is doing his or her part, then the church gets built up. There's growth in the body and it builds itself up. Christ said, Jesus, I am going to build my church. Christ builds the church, but he uses his people to do it. He uses us to build the church. And the word here is building up is another way you can translate it is edification. This all happens for the edification, for the building up of the church. Christ builds the church. He uses us to build the church. He builds the church through us. So you can see, and all through these, in the early part of Ephesians, in Matthew 16, in the later part of this, a passage in Ephesians, all using the same word, build up, building, edification. And it's one of the ways, when you really think about it, you can see, when you really pursue and dig in and keep working at it, everything in the Bible always ends up fitting together just perfectly. It all fits together. From Matthew 16 to Mark 10 to Ephesians 4, whether it's Jesus or whether it's Paul, we'll see Peter, whoever it is, it all comes together. And as we study Scripture, we need to see what this plan is. And too many churches have ignored this plan. this blueprint that Christ has laid out in the New Testament. This is how the church gets built up. And notice it gets built up in love. As we have love for each other and serve each other, it all comes together. God in Christ building up his body. This is what we're talking about. See, everybody has a role. Everybody has a role. And so we have to take on, I'm a minister. This is what we call the doctrine of the ministry of every believer. Every believer is a minister. This doctrine especially comes out of the Reformation, when back in the 16th century, the church had developed into a place where the lay people had nothing to do. It was all led by the clergy. And in that process, for a number of other reasons, even the gospel was lost. And we had to have, led by Martin Luther and John Calvin, this great movement in church history where the gospel was rediscovered. And one of the things that they said must happen for the church to be revived and revitalized and renewed was that we had to get back to the doctrine of the ministry of every believer. The church is made up of ministers. And annals of the church still say many of the principles of the Reformation have been implemented. Salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. But one of the principles that is yet to be fully implemented is this doctrine of the ministry of every believer. And I want to call you to embrace this today. You have a role as a minister in the people of God. And as you work, as this happens this way, the church grows, the church is built up. And it's important to remember that the growth is both quantitative and qualitative. It's both in breadth and depth. This is how the church grows. As new people come to Christ, and as new people mature in Christ, and as new people get involved in ministry, and as people who've been around forever continue to stay in ministry and grow in ministry, this is the way biblical church growth occurs. And as we think of our future here, we think about a pastor and a congregation. We look forward to the day when God calls a new pastor to come, the First Baptist Augusta. We're praying for the search committee, the search team, as they pray and work. And we long for the day that God reveals just the right man who's been prepared for us. And we prepare, and we pray, and we get ready. And a big part of getting ready is, maybe we could call, be ready to be edified to edify. Be ready for this. Be ready to be edified, to be equipped, so that you can edify others, so that you can be involved in edifying people. And don't just think about, oh, I'm going to be ready for this, but start now. You don't have to wait to be edified until the new pastor comes. Start now. The new pastor will pick up the process and take it much beyond where you've ever been. But even now, begin to be ready to be edified so that you can be used by God to edify others. So you're a minister. That's the big thing for today. We're going to build on this in the future. But the big is to accept that you're a ministry. But you're a minister, but you do have to ask the question, if you're a minister, what's your ministry? What's your ministry? How do you serve Jesus to help build his church, his people, his body? That's kind of the question. How do you serve Jesus Christ and his people to be used of him in his building of his people? What's your role? And we're going to be talking about this in days ahead. I like this even to think about. We used this chart last week, developed this chart out of the Great Commission, the Great Commandment, and the New Commandment, these great teachings of Jesus that I think summarize the Bible. And it comes out like this. We're disciples of Jesus Christ. And disciples means we are growing. And we are being equipped to be a minister, an effective servant. And we're growing in knowledge and in character as disciples. And we saw that every disciple is going to have three loves. He's going to love God, she's going to love one another, and he's going to love the world. That's what a disciple's going to do, three loves. And loving God is characterized by worship, and loving one another is characterized by community, and loving the world is characterized by mission. And you could say you're a worshiper, you're a minister, you're a witness in each of those three. Now, in putting this chart together, you can see I chose the word ministers under loving one another. Ministry is a broad term, and it can have two uses. So you need to see this. Usually, to be a minister means to serve each other. But our ministry is really broader than serving each other. It's serving God and also serving the world. But to me, the best way I can summarize how I understand the New Testament is to say that there are three kind of roles. One is a worshiper. This is the way we love and serve God. A second one is a minister. This is how we love and serve one another. And a third one is witness. This is how we love and serve the world. That is, those who don't yet know Jesus Christ. Now you can see there's a little inconsistency in that, because I would argue that worship and witness are also ministries. So you see that. Worship is a ministry that serves God, and witness is a ministry that serves the world. But I can't come up with a better word than minister for how we deal with each other. Now, we added something onto the chart today where we put across the bottom servant, 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 because they're all three servants. We serve God, we serve one another, we serve the world. And we're all called to do all three of these. Now, we're going to be talking more about this in the future, knowing about what this means and how we do it. But I just want us to see this morning that you're a minister. And your ministry involves serving God, serving each other, and serving the world. And right at the top of your priority list in being a disciple, in being a Christian, in being a follower of Jesus, is to understand what your ministry is, and even more importantly, to live your life as a minister. To live your life as a person who is moving through life with, maybe you could say, three goals. I want to love God. I want to worship God. I want to love the people of God. I want to serve them. I want to love the world, those who don't know Jesus Christ. I want to witness to them. That's how the New Testament lays out what the life of a disciple of Jesus Christ is. To be great lovers. Lovers of God, lovers of each other, lovers of the world. So we ask the question, what's your ministry? Know you're a minister. Be aware of it. How do you minister? Another way you could ask the question. Be who you are. And you are a minister. Serve God. Find ways in your life to serve God, to serve each other, and to serve the world. Make your life about serving and loving him and each other and the world, not about lording it over other people. Not about accumulating things for yourself. Not about making life for you. Make life for God and the people of God and the people of the world who have not yet come to know Jesus. That's what the New Testament calls us to. And to be intentional about it. You can see. You've got to make this a priority in your life. You've got to make this a goal. You've got to make this a pursuit. Because if you don't, you will, by default, serve yourself and your needs. It may even look like you're serving others, but it'll really be for you. Order your life around serving God and one another and others. Make it a priority. This is what God is calling us to do. So today, I think what God really wants foundationally is for you to see that He is calling you to be a minister. You're a minister. Accept that call this morning. And realize there are kind of three aspects to your ministry. You have to minister to God, minister to each other, and minister to the world. You're a minister with kind of three priorities in your ministry. That's your role. And then specifically, it's all going to look different. Every person's going to be a little different. So I want to ask you now, Mr. Bao. Mr. Bao, maybe close your eyes. Reflect from these passages. Jesus teaching that He's a servant and you have to be a servant. Jesus saying He's going to build the church. Paul saying He builds a church through the work of ministry of God's people. Just think about that. What's God saying to you this morning? Reflect. Listen. Listen to the Lord.